Please turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. We will be discussing verses 5 to 8 together. And tonight, we are going to be considering the cross. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. And we gather again not to celebrate his life, his birth, but to celebrate his death. Many persons have lived and died. We celebrate the birth of some, like famous presidents, heroes, inventors, and etc. But it is only their birth that we get to celebrate. But when we remember their death, it brings sorrow and grief and a sense of loss. However, there's only one person in history whose death excites us and calls for celebration. It is the death of God, the Son. Now, why do we celebrate his death? We celebrate his death because it was substitutionary. That means he died in our place and thus rendered our death sentence before a holy God unnecessary. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one would scarcely die for a righteous person, though for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5, 6, and 8. He took our sins and judgment upon himself. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53, 4-5. We don't only celebrate his death because it is substitutionary, but we also celebrate his death because it was representative. Meaning, we died with him, and in him, when he died, we shared in his death by faith. Romans 6, 1-4, it says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who have died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We are buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. The death of Christ as both our substitute and representative is a fact that God communicated long before his incarnation. The Passover lamb, the scapegoat, and other sacrifices in the Old Testament point to the atoning death of Jesus Christ. The death of Christ is central to our faith and our hope and the message of the gospel that we preach. We can even say that The gospel of Jesus Christ hangs on the cross of Jesus Christ. Christ's suffering, his crucifixion, and his death set the very foundation for our salvation. Romans 5:10-11. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This week, and particularly tonight, many persons, many great speakers, men and women of God, we seek to draw the world's attention to what the atoning death of Jesus Christ means for the whole world and even creation in general. They will emphasize the meaning of the cross, the outpouring of God's wrath against sin. They will seek to help people discover what Calvary reveals about God, the depth of his love for us. Some will delve into the accomplishment of the cross, our very salvation. Easter means freedom to and for us. And so we have every reason to celebrate. Amen? As we meditate upon and celebrate what the cross accomplishes for us, we must not lose sight of what the death of Jesus Christ teaches us. Because you see, Christ's death does not only save us, but it also teaches us. It does not only do something for us, but it instructs us. Have you ever considered that? That the death of Christ and what he accomplishes by it is not only a blessing to us, but also a lesson for us. I want to draw our attention this Easter to what the Calvary experience teaches us. The lesson is recorded in Philippians 2:5-8. And it reads, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The death of Christ is primarily for our salvation, but when we have already come to faith in Jesus Christ, when we have already put our trust in what he did for us on the cross, his life experience and his cross experience become to us a pattern for us to follow. By his Calvary experience, what we are remembering tonight, Jesus teaches us two things: self-denial, as we see in verses 5-7, and humble obedience, as we see in verse 8. Now, what is self-denial? To me, self-denial is simple. Putting God first, putting others second, and putting yourself last. According to our text, The Calvary experience teaches us that Christ's self-denial was demonstrated in these ways. When he, God, became a servant, verses 6 to 7, it says, though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant. We know that Jesus Christ is God. And he says that he is. He proves that he is. And the Father and the Spirit testify that he is God. John 1 tells us that he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, according to verse 15. He created all things in heaven and on earth, 16. He existed before all things eternally, 17. He reconciled all things and all flesh to himself, 18 to 21. And in him, all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. This God became a servant. He says in Matthew 20, 28, the Son of Man has come not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for many. Indeed, he served. From feeding people to washing feet, from healing to comforting people, he served. Imagine being the manager of a very large company for 25 years, at least. And then all of a sudden, the board of your company comes and says to you, today, you are not going to be the head of this company. You are going to be a janitor in this company, and your office will no longer be in New York City, but will be in a village, in a place like Liberia. Will you remain with that company or resign? Will you accept to go from manager to janitor, from New York to a village? But brothers and sisters, this is nothing compared to what Jesus Christ did. He left his glory, his power, his comfort as God in heaven, and came and became a servant to us. Verses 7b and 8a also tell us that he, God, became a man. He made himself nothing, being formed in the likeness of men and being formed in human form. Here we see total self-denial. When the Creator, took the form of a creature. By becoming like us, God the Son subjected himself to our limitations. He was tempted, he was hungry and thirsty, he was oppressed, he was needy, he cried, he was betrayed and abandoned by friends. Easter reminds us that Christ has called us to learn from him and follow him in self-denial. And he said to all, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Luke 9:23. And whosoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Matthew 10:38. Self-denial begins at making Jesus the Lord of your life, and you don't feel a right to be treated any better than Jesus was treated, and you speak truth and treat people as you want to be treated, with love and compassion. The cross teaches us self-denial. Another lesson that we learn from the cross, his Calvary experience is also associated closely with self-denial. By his Calvary experience, Jesus also teaches us humble obedience. We find that in verse 8. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. There are two ways one can obey. One may be made to obey or forced to obey. And enforcement officer, law enforcement officers, and parents do that. We force children to obey, and authorities force us to obey. But then obedience can be also freely done or voluntarily done. And that is true obedience. When we consider the lordship of Jesus Christ and the extent to which he obeyed the Father, we will all agree that it was a humble obedience. He obeyed the Father in every area of his life on earth. But the cross of Jesus Christ, his Calvary experience that we celebrate tonight, was the climax of his obedience to the Father. The extent of his obedience, he obeyed to his death. Have you ever tasted obedience to your inconvenience? A doctor tells you, keep certain diet for 6 months. And after 3 weeks, you tell me what happened. Or the professor tells you, during a summer break, you have to read certain chapters before you come back to school. And as you get home, summer camps and other things come up. Or let's say you are 35 years old and you hold a black belt in karate or taekwondo, and your father tells you, don't fight anyone. And then one morning, two 16-year-old show up at your house and they begin to kick you around, even tie your neck with your own belt, and you are suffocating to death. Let me ask you, will you obey your father to your death, or will you defend yourself? Well, Jesus did the former one. He who spoke and the sea became still. At Calvary, he was dumb. He never said a word. He didn't open his mouth. And scripture tells us he was led like a sheep to a slaughter. He had the authority to command 10,000 angels to fight for him. But he would not permit Peter to cut an ear. He turned water into wine, but at the cross he cried, "I thirst." He raised Lazarus and others from the grave, but he allowed himself to die at the cross. Hebrews 5:8 says, although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. For as by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. So by one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. The extent of his obedience was to his death. But what is much more amazing is the nature and the manner of his death, according to verse 8b. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Now hear this. Even death on a cross. Even death on a cross. Crucifixion was a cruel and torturous event. It was intended to cause slow death and pain. It was intended for dangerous criminals and people of low status. It was a public and disgraceful death because the one who was being executed has to be stripped naked and denied burial so that the dead corpse will be eaten by birds. But more than that, God has said, even God, his Father, has said, curse is anyone who is hanged on a tree. Believers, no wonder Paul says that Christ became a curse for us. The cross is what Jesus invites us to take and follow him. If our message about the cross must be credible, we must yield ourselves to the cross. If the blessings of the cross must be meaningful, we must learn the lesson from the cross. It is not a lesson that the world wants to learn today. It is not an easy lesson, but it is one of eternal value. It is my prayer that we learn to obey, to deny ourselves, and humbly obey the one who gave his life to give us life so that we can have eternal life. God bless you.